turn there and get that ready. But first, we're going to imagine ourselves being at least 1,007 years into the future. And we are at the end of the millennial kingdom. All right, we've been through the tribulation. We were raptured, been through the tribulation. We've lived and served the Lord for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. And we're at the end of the millennial kingdom. All right, so try to place yourself there. All right, we've been through all of that. So that's where we are today. So we have come a long way in our lives, living out the teaching of all that is involved in what the word heaven means. It's been at least 1,007 years since we were raptured, taken up bodily into heaven to the throne room of God, where the Apostle John went 2,000 years before our rapture in a vision on the Lord's day. We were living our lives here on earth when suddenly the Lord Jesus returned to the sky above us and called us and all the saints of the church age to join him on a trip back to the city of God, where we stood before the throne of our King. Our bodies were changed to be like Christ's body without sin or sickness. We went through the reward ceremony in heaven as the Lord was pouring out his wrath on the earth during the tribulation period. And that lasted 7 years and was a wonderful time for us. And yet there were times of regret for us there in heaven when my works as a Christian, I remember this, were put to the fire there before the throne of the Lord Jesus. I was surprised how little gold, silver, and precious stones actually survived the fire. Jesus explained that many of those works that I had thought were of great value to him were done out of pride, selfishness, and a desire to please others, rather than truly done out of a heart of love for him and for his glory. As I stood there and watched those things be burned up, and what little bit was left after that, I teared up a little bit. But when he placed the few crowns that I had earned on my head and said, "Well done, faithful servant," I couldn't help but fall on my knees and praise and thank him for saving my soul. Then we came with the Lord Jesus. If you're there with me, you remember. You won't forget this. On white horses, coming back with him, waving our swords in the air, though we wouldn't have to actually use them. Maybe they're just plastic swords, I don't know. But we're waving them anyway in victory as we come back to the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we watch as he destroyed all the enemies of the earth, in the Megiddo Valley in Israel with only a word from his mouth. We were there in Jerusalem at the restored temple at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, given our assignments as to where we would be serving in his worldwide government and in what positions we would be serving him in. And we served him perfectly in those positions for 1,000 years. As resurrected people, we were without sin, and we served him perfectly. We saw humans born, live their lives, and die as we did back in 2023, which is now a long time ago. We visited the throne room in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, where Christ's throne now resided, with many of our fellow servants. We had many wonderful meals there, with him presiding, teaching us, teaching the saved sinners among us his wonderful word. We saw as he released Satan from his chains and allowed him to work among the non-believers in Christ, to bring about a second huge rebellion and attack on the holy city. He told us that this would happen in his word back in Revelation. We questioned him as to why he was allowing this, and he told us that it would ultimately bring about the completion of his Father's will for this creature, Satan, and all of his followers. He would be glorified through this great triumph over the wicked one and those who rejected his Father's wonderful grace. We saw the throne transformed into a massive, glowing, white throne. The whiteness of this throne was so intense that all of those that gathered before it could only curl up and cry out at the power of the light coming from that throne. We saw millions upon millions of people gathered there in their resurrected bodies, not like ours, but very human in their characteristics. Surrounding them was a huge army of angels armed with blazing swords of flame. We saw some of them try to slip out of this place, try to sneak away, but there was nowhere to go, and the angels would not allow it. Only a look from them sent these people back to their place before this great white throne. It was a horrible scene. I can't remember if I was actually there or was imagining it that I was there based on Revelation 20, verse 11. These people had to go and stand before this magnificent, blasting white throne, and they were judged out of great books. First, it was the Lamb's Book of Life was checked to see if any of their names were there, and none of them were. And then they were judged out of a massive number of books based on what good works they did while living on earth. But sadly, when revealed, all of their good works appeared before the throne as a wretched, rotten, disgusting pile of filthy rags, which instantly combusted into a horrible flame. When he who was on the throne condemned them, it was awful. He said with a booming voice, so all assembled could hear, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me today, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then shall he say unto them, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I remember that quote from Matthew 25:41. They all reacted the same way. Every one of them fell to the ground, previously held up by angels anyway because they couldn't stand on their own. And they moaned in the most hideous, pitiful sound you have ever heard. The angels lifted them up and with a strong heave cast them into the seemingly endless lake of fire. I knew some of them that were there that day. If I didn't shed tears of grief for them while they were alive, I did then. But it was too late to help them. Now, interestingly, back when that great white throne appeared, the old heaven and the old earth just disappeared, as Revelation 20:11 said it would. Some other verses that told us what would happen, I recall now. Psalm 102:25-26. "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed." And in Hebrews 1:10, the writer quotes this chapter in Psalms again and said, "And now, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And then 2 Peter 3, 7, and verse 7 and 10 say, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then Luke 21:33 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I wonder, as I stand there, what will happen next. Well, back to 2023, here in Hill Village Bible Church in Little Old Hill, New Hampshire, and let's take a look at what happens next by reading Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 27. Put yourself in John's shoes as he stands there and sees this vision of what's happening before him. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Isn't that interesting? 144 cubits is 12 times 12. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they were which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I have five things that I want to bring to your attention in this passage, and I won't be able to get to them all this week. But if we're back from vacation next Sunday, I will finish up on Revelation 21. And I'm thinking about maybe having a quiz next week. All right? So don't let that keep you away, okay? I'll give you the answers. All right? But, you know, it'll be a good exercise for us to figure out what have we really learned during this study. So, five things. Number one is verse one. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This is not the only place that's promised this new heaven and new earth. Look quickly at 2 Peter chapter 3. That's the closest reference. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 13. And it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now it says, Peter says, according to his promise. Now where would Peter have heard this promise before? Well, if you go back to Isaiah 65, Isaiah 65, the Old Testament, in verse 17, we'll read a few verses here. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. He's talking there, having read Revelation 21, we know that he's talking about the new Jerusalem there, way back in Isaiah. In verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. The child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. This is what will be going on this new earth during that time. All right? They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Now, I'm not sure, but I wonder if that holy mountain isn't this new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven and possibly shaped like a mountain, possibly in the shape of a pyramid. It could either be a cube or a pyramid. We don't know, but it's equal on all three dimensions, okay? Look at chapter 66, Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. He's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. Number two, point number two is in verse 2 through 4. Let's look at that, back to Revelation 21, verse 2 to 4. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. This is right out of Isaiah. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Turn over quickly to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 12. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now that's the one of the rewards that we'll receive at the judgment seat of Christ. If you remember, we discussed that. But I wanted you to notice that the name of the New Jerusalem will be given to us and be on our clothing. And then John 14:2. We're familiar with that passage. And Jesus says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I believe that his Father's house that he's referring to there is the New Jerusalem. Okay? It's what God, what the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing for his people, the New Jerusalem. Verse 2 says it's as beautiful as a bride. Is there anything more beautiful than a bride adorned and prepared for her husband at the marriage ceremony? And John says it was a beautiful sight to see. This huge pyramid or skew, we don't know which, descending out of the clouds and landing on earth. You can almost picture this huge spaceship, right? Coming down and landing. But it's the city of God. It's God's throne room come to earth. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. In verses 1 through 3. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So this is John being called up into heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. We heard about those stones as descriptions of the city. And there was a rainbow found about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. So remember all of those jewels that we heard, we read about in Revelation 21, that are part of the foundation of this city of God descending out of heaven. Wow. Are you just hearing me for the first time? Okay. All right. Hey, Quincy, get off the controls up there. All right. Threw me off my game here. So Some think that when we go to heaven, some theologians believe that when we go to heaven now, we go to the New Jerusalem that's in heaven being prepared for this time that we're reading about in Revelation 21, and that that is where God is reigning now on his throne, all right? I think that is a very real possibility. Now, you notice that it doesn't reference a temple in this city, such as will be in Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom here on earth, but not in the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, 22, look at that real quick. Sorry, a lot of scripture, a lot of turning, but it's really important that we understand these, that this is all biblical truth, okay? It's not something I'm making up. Revelation 21, 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So God's throne will be there, but there will be no temple, for God is the temple. God will dwell with his people and not in a separate place. He will not be separated from us. Like the Holy of Holies was separated, and only the high priest could go in once a year with blood, God will be there. He will be accessible to all of those that are there, all of the saved, from all the ages that are gathered there on that new heaven, on that new earth and the new heaven. What an amazing thing that's going to be. And we will be able to approach his throne and talk to him and fellowship with him. And I don't believe he'll only be on his throne. I believe, like in the Garden of Eden, as he went out and walked through the garden, he enjoyed his creation. He won't be sitting on a throne the whole time. He will from time to time, but he'll move throughout the new city and the new earth, and we will see him and fellowship with him, and you know, think about that, dream about that a little bit. It's amazing to think of. All right, so we had number one, we had number two, the holy city, number three, the angel says to John, write, in verse 5 and 6, 21 verse 5 and 6. And he that, actually not the angel, but God himself says to John, write. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He says, tell my people, John, the wonderful things that I have prepared for their future. Go back to Revelation chapter 1 again, please. Back to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 11 first. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. So there again, he tells him to write, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And then verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So he tells John on several occasions to write. And God, from his throne in the New Jerusalem, tells John again, write. He says in verse 6, it is done. It is done. What is done? What is it that is done? The full will of the Father has been accomplished at this point. What was his will when he created the earth? It was fellowship with man, close, intimate, friendship with all of us. Of course, according to his sovereign plan, we would need a Savior because he knew that we would sin. A Savior came in the fullness of time at the perfect timing. And he did what? He finished the work of the redemption of man. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," as we see in John 19:30. He says here, "I am the beginning and the end." And this phrase, Alpha and Omega, is used four times in Revelation. And as far as I know, nowhere else in the Bible. However, the term first and last is used in several places throughout the Bible, in Isaiah 44, in Isaiah 48, and in other places, including in Revelation in other places. The first and the last, which is the same as Alpha and Omega. And Alpha and Omega, as you know, are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So here at the end of time, all right, not the end of eternity, but the end of time, in the midst of eternity, God had a plan, a design that he created, he redeemed, he judged, and he finished. He is the maker of this plan, and he has guided it all along. And we are but a small part of it, but to our God, an extremely important part of it. You are, each of you here this morning. You are an extremely important part, of the overall sovereign will of God. You are here by his purpose, by his will. He is not finished with us. He is moving, he's preparing, he's convicting, he's saving, he's growing a people for himself who will dwell with him in the near future and forevermore. And those of us who have put our trust in his dear son will share in that glorious future. Number four, the details of the New Jerusalem. Look at verses 7 to 21. First of all, verses 7 and 8. Who will and will not be there? Verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So who will and will not be there? Who will be there? Overcomers. And who are they? 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." The saved, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted his gift of salvation, will be there. Revelation 2:7, let me just read these verses to you. If you're there, please follow along. If not, just listen. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." In verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That's us. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And there's a lot more to this, but I just don't have time to go into it further. But who won't be there? Look back in Revelation 21, verse 8. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and so on. Unrepentant sinners, basically. That's what he's naming there. Unrepentant sinners. People that couldn't be bothered to consider the wonderful gift that the Lord offers through his precious son, who gave his life to save our souls. I hope that there's no one here in that condition, because the end is not pleasant. A lake of fire, is that something you really want to endure? Really look for? I mean, is that something to look forward to? I hope not. But rather the new heaven, the new earth, now that's something to look forward to. Number five, details of the outside of the city. It's interesting, in this chapter, we only see the outside of the city. Verse 9 through 11. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city is so large that John had to be taken up to a high vantage point to see the whole city as he's watching it descend. This reminds me of a passage in Ezekiel 40, verse 1 and 2. Let's take a look at it. Ezekiel, it's in the Old Testament. After Lamentations, chapter 40, Ezekiel chapter 40. And we see a similar thing occurring here in verse 1 and 2. In the 25th year of our captivity, this is when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that, the city was smitten, a very certain moment in time, is what Ezekiel is saying here. In the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. And the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. So Ezekiel was taken up into a high mountain where he viewed the millennial temple, okay, in the future for him. But we're past the millennial temple now, where we are on the new heaven and the new earth. The vision of the millennial temple is in that Ezekiel's taken into a high mountain, even as John is taken to a high mountain, a high vantage point, to see this huge city. Matthew 4:8, where Christ is tempted by the devil, we see that he is taken up to a very high mountain, a viewpoint, in order to see a far distance. And what the devil is showing him is all the kingdoms of the earth. So the devil, mocking what the angel is going to do with John, takes Christ up to a high mountain and says, I will give you all of this if you will fall down and worship me. Of course, Christ doesn't do that. And now, because Christ didn't do that, John is taken up into a high mountain so that he can take into view the whole incredible city of God, the New Jerusalem. All right. So what does John see from this high viewpoint? He sees a gigantic gem, a huge crystal clear object glowing with the glory of God as his throne is in this city, descending onto the new earth. And unfortunately, we have to stop there. Our time is up, but we will pick this up. But I want to leave you with that vision of John standing on a high mountain outside of Israel and watching this huge city come down. And we'll talk about how huge it is next time, and settling on the earth, on the new earth, prepared for this incredible place.